And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to focus upon the gospel reading this morning. And by the way, the scriptures are printed out in your bulletins, or there's Bibles in the pew, or hopefully you brought your own Bible. You may want to open up to our text, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, 1 to 11. And in your bulletins, there's also an outline of this message, so I'll be referencing different passages. Don't worry about having to write them down, but I hope you'll go back later and maybe look at some of these in more depth and detail on your own time. But what an incredible event. As we see Jesus often by the sea or on the sea, Gennesaret is mentioned in Luke's gospel, another name for the Sea of Galilee. But Jesus spent a lot of time on this body of water fishing, and some very special events like the one that we have heard of this morning, a true historical event, as Jesus is calling his disciples to follow him. And I thought of the theme catch and release this morning. I'm not much of a fisherman myself. I kind of have other hobbies, but boy, I had a father-in-law. He was the fisherman and was very good at it. But, you know, catch and release, that's done oftentimes. And the intent is catch a fish and then release it again. Keep it healthy, put it back into water, and you release it to live. And there's rules about the size of fish you can catch, and sometimes if they're too small, you're supposed to release them back into the water. There's a number of reasons sometimes for catch and release, but I want us to think about it in light of Jesus and the incredible work that he has accomplished for us. Because in reality, the reason that Jesus, the very Son of God, the Almighty God himself, came in the flesh and dwelt among us was in order to catch men. And by men, meaning mankind, meaning men, women, children, for God desires that all would be saved. And his approach in Jesus' ministry, as we follow those 3 years of public ministry when Jesus could be visibly seen in the flesh, his approach was teaching. And so we see this great rabbi, as he is referred to many times in Scripture. And what is Jesus doing? But he's using every opportunity that he provides, he is God, in order that teaching may take place. And in that teaching, that people will come to know Jesus for who he is, the Son of God, and exclusively the Savior of the world. And so here in the setting, as we see on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus approaches Peter, gets into a boat, tells Peter to push the boat out just a little ways offshore, and then the multitudes are there. And Jesus has a great opportunity in order to teach. And so we hear in the text, he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now, on Lutheran Schools Week, we're reminded of just how important it is that all of us, children and adults alike, know God's Word very well. And so we've got a wonderful atmosphere at Trinity Lutheran Church and School because we focus on the Word, the inerrant Word of God, the Holy Bible, so that we may grow together and mature in this incredible faith and praise Jesus for his teaching and for us to be blessed to know it. And you know what's interesting with Jesus, very unique, he is the Word that became flesh. And when people heard him teach, we hear over and over in Scripture that they are amazed because he taught with what? Authority, right? Authority. Unlike all other teachers, even as I preach to you this morning, I'm drawing from the resource of God's Word, but Jesus is the Word himself in the flesh. Very uniquely different, and people saw the authority in Jesus as he taught and in the acts that he performed. In fact, so much so that at the beginning of our text here this morning, we hear that that the crowds were pressing in on him to hear the word of God. They have heard about him. Others have already heard Jesus preach, and they're following him wherever he goes. And now there's a huge crowd on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and it's because of this uniqueness of the way that Jesus teaches with authority. In fact, we hear that they are astonished at his teaching in Luke chapter 4. And there also Jesus was casting out demons, and people were amazed at the authority again. And they said, with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. This is the Jesus that you and I are blessed to know, and he has not changed, by the way. And so now, in this incredible event, here's these brothers, Simon. Andrew isn't mentioned in Luke's account of this. In some of the other Gospels, we hear of Simon's brother Andrew was here as well. James and John, also brothers. So you have a couple sets of brothers here fishing together in their business. And as they're fishing all night, they don't catch anything. And Jesus approaches them after that, and he says to put your boats out and throw the nets in. And Peter's like, Master, we did that, and we toiled all night, and nothing happened. But the incredible thing about Peter is he trusted Jesus. And despite all of that, they put the boats out, they threw the nets in the water, and Jesus again revealed his authority. And what happens? But they have the biggest catch maybe they've ever had in a very short time. In fact, so large the nets were almost breaking. They couldn't get all the fish into one boat. They called James and John. They brought the other boat beside them. They're filling both boats. And then we hear, even with both boats, they're almost sinking because of the weight of this huge catch. But what is Jesus doing? He's revealing the authority that he has and who he is in that authority. To the extent Peter knows, and Peter right away says, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. So Peter's terrified because he knows his own sinful condition, and he knows he's in the presence of the Holy One, the very Son of God, Jesus Christ. Very similar as we heard the Old Testament reading this morning, right? With Isaiah receiving that calling from God to be a prophet, and Isaiah in the presence of the Lord says, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And so Isaiah is terrified as a sinful human being in the presence of the holy God. There's a theme here, isn't there? And you know, it's a reminder to you and me that we are no different than Isaiah or Peter or the other disciples in our sinful condition. And sin is rebellion against God. And by the way, even before we could rebel against God, we already had sin on our souls. And it's called original sin. And that came from our first parents, Adam and Eve. Remember when they rebelled against God? And that sin not only affected them, as we hear in Scripture, but the ramifications of that original sin is passed down from generation to generation. The moment our life begins in our mother's womb, we are a sinful human being. And by the way, we see the atrocities with regards to abortion in our nation, and now extending out, can even take the life of a child in the womb right before they're being born, late term. How can tissue be sinful? And yet David, the great King David of the Old Testament, prays these words to God, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, in the original Hebrew language, David is saying, The moment my life began in my mother's womb, I inherited that original sin. There's no debate about when human life begins in God's Word. It's at conception. The authority of God's Word speaks. But it's very devastating because before, I mean, we had nothing to do with being conceived in the womb. But we inherit this sin, and it's deadly. It'll condemn us for eternity in hell. It's how serious it is. And then, unfortunately, we contribute to it in our journey upon this earth as sinful human beings. And Paul writes in Ephesians 2, the ramifications, we're all children of wrath. That's how serious it is. Peter knew that. Standing in the presence of the one who could condemn him for eternity, Peter was terrified. Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinner. And the same with Isaiah. Woe to me, my lips are unclean. They knew and understood well the seriousness of their condition. And you know, God desires that we would understand the same. Because if we don't see the reality of our sinful condition, who cares about a Savior? We don't need one, right? But apart from Jesus, there is only eternal condemnation. There is only death. But you know what the good news is? Jesus came to fish. Jesus came to fish in this world, if you will. In Luke, later, we hear in chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Simple words, but so complex. Think about that. From God Almighty Himself, from Jesus Himself who has come, acknowledging the reason that I have come is to seek out the lost and to save them. Elsewhere in Scripture, God says that His desire, His will, is that all people will be saved. And so God never wants anyone to question, well, am I included in this, Jesus? Do you really want me to be saved? And God says, yes. And we need never doubt that, because it's God's promise to you and to me. Remember my father-in-law, I called him the walleye guy. Have you ever had walleye? Oh my gosh, I think it's the best fresh fish you can eat. It's awesome. I'm not a fisherman, so now I don't get to eat walleye anymore. But Grandpa Doyle, boy, I tell you, he could catch the walleye. And it was very intensive. It was very planned out. We'd go out on a lake, and then all the other boats would converge around his boat because they knew the guy that knew how to catch walleye. It was intense. It was focused. Think about Jesus. Does that sound like intensity? I come to seek and I come to save the lost. And we see Jesus in action in the gospel reading this morning. We see the Lord in action with Isaiah in the Old Testament. And it's all around teaching. That we may know. And as you follow the scriptures, I mean, so many that are pointed out. The tax collector, despised by the Roman authority, or by the Jews, because they worked under the Empire of Rome, and they were Jews, and they would always steal money from their own people. Many of them would. They could be quite the crooks, and they were not highly respected, but Jesus came for the tax collector. He came for the Pharisees. They were the elite of the church of the day. They were the leaders. They were the ones out in front that lots of people looked up to, and yet they were deceiving people greatly, and Jesus called them on the carpet about that, but He didn't write them off. His desire was that they too would come to faith. He was seeking them. Jesus went to the prostitutes. Most people would just be aghast to even be around that part of society, but Jesus was there. because he was seeking those that were lost and separated from him. The Samaritan woman, you got to read it, John chapter 4. Woman ostracized by her whole community. Nobody wanted anything to do with this woman. And Jesus intentionally places himself on a path where he knows this woman is coming. Why? Because he's seeking out the lost. And he wants to save them. And this Samaritan woman, despised by the community, loved by the Lord, her life was changed forever. Jesus came for the extremely wealthy. He came for the extremely poor. He came for everyone in between. There is no one to the exclusion of God's desire to be saved. And that includes you and me in this room. Satan loves to try and create doubt in that realm. And if you ever get that thought in your mind, maybe God doesn't really love me. Maybe the Lord isn't really seeking after me. Know that that's not the voice of Jesus. Hear his voice. I've come to seek and I've come to save those who are lost. And the Lord came to catch us, by the way, not to destroy us, but as we have heard, to save. And so Jesus came to release man from the bondage of our sin, that we can be free then to live and to serve him. Catch and release is the Lord's goal, and it's his work. And it starts through the sacrifice of himself. That's why the cross is so prominent in our sanctuary, is that Jesus came and died for you and me. It had to be done. The wages of sin, God says, is death. Not only physical death, but spiritual death. Not only spiritual death for a while, but eternal condemnation in hell. We would be under God's wrath this very day if Jesus did not come to save us. Imagine that. The Almighty God himself comes in the flesh, becomes a human being in the person of Jesus Christ for the purpose of going to the cross and there receiving all of God's wrath and anger and punishment upon his own son for your sin and for mine and the sins of all people. And it's historical. Jesus has completed this great work. In Romans chapter 6, we hear Romans chapter 3, we hear these words: "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely." Justified means to be declared not guilty. "Are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Redemption means Jesus has purchased you and me. The fisherman pays the price for his fish that he catches, and praise Jesus that he would go to these extremes. That's why you and I are blessed to be here today. And so he has caught us personally through his means of grace, through teaching, hearing the word of God. And for our school parents, thank you for sharing your kids with us at Trinity, because there's not a day at Trinity that they're not going to hear about Jesus, that they're not going to be continually growing in their understanding of who our Savior is, and through baptism. And if there's anyone who isn't baptized, you may want to come and talk to me about that. It's another means of grace. It's a way that God communicates his love, his forgiveness to us individually. And it's through the waters of baptism. And so the Lord catches us not to destroy us, but to give us new life, that we then can go fishing ourselves. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, known as the Great Commission oftentimes. But here's this word authority again. All authority. Isn't that cool? Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And now he speaks to you and me, the church. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I have commanded you. Do you see how these ministries that Jesus publicly did during his time visibly upon the earth are extended now through you and me individually, through the church collectively. It's an incredible honor that we get to be a part of this. And so we go forth and we baptize, we share God's word. And that's what the ministry here at Trinity Lutheran Church and School focuses on. For the sake of those who already believe, that we may continue to grow in our faith until that day the Lord receives us home in glory, but especially to reach out to those who may not know Jesus. It's our main task. Do you know in 2 Peter chapter 3, God makes it very clear the only reason this day happened today, the primary reason is for the sake of the lost. You think of all the torment that God takes, all the mocking that God receives from the world in unbelief and rebellion against him. He endures that he might win one more into his kingdom. So something, doesn't it, about our priorities then in our lives? Where is our focus? And I hope it's on catch and release. To bring the word, to bring baptism to others that they may be saved, and to share with them the great news that now you can work in the kingdom. And so the question comes down to this: are we just going to talk about this, or are we going to fish? In closing, an interesting story. There was this old cowger that was going out on this local lake, and he was fishing. Nobody else could catch anything. And this guy, he'd go out, and less than an hour later, he'd come back, and his boat was literally full of fish. And the rumors, you know, the word's starting to spread around. What is it with this guy? Well, the game warden kind of heard this too. He thought, I better check this out. I wonder what this guy is all about. So the game warden asked him, can I go with you fishing? This might be Kyle, you know, the guy fishing. Could be. And Kyle says, sure, you can go with me. So they go out on the lake, and Kyle pulls out a stick of dynamite out of the tackle box. He lights it, throws it out in the water. All the fish float up dead. He gets his net out. Man, he's raking them in. And within 10 minutes, he's got his way over his limit. He's headed to shore. And the game warden, he's just aghast. He's, you can't do that. And he's going on and on, just yelling at Kyle. Kyle just patiently pulls out another stick of dynamite, lights it, hands it to the game warden. And he says, now, are you just going to talk or are you going to fish? And that's God's message to you and me. Not the dynamite part, but are we just going to talk about teaching others? Or are we going to go out and fish, share the good news of Jesus with others? In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord, who loves us, who died for us, who has given us new life, who honors us to work in his kingdom. Amen.